We'll hear a personal perspective from 1988 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. If you were active in ham radio in the late 80s, especially in Southern California, you may remember the effects deregulation had on ham radio frequency coordination. The FCC decreed that there could be more than one frequency coordinator in a given geographical area, something we'll hear more about in Part 2 of this RP report from 1988. Ray Kowalski was chief of the Special Services Division in the FCC's Private Radio Bureau most of the 80s. Kowalski returned to the private sector in 1988 as an attorney in Washington, D.C. Kowalski expressed his perspective of what ham radio was headed for in the era of deregulation in a 1988 Dayton Hamvention talk before the Frequency Coordinator Forum. His observations from almost 30 years ago are just as cogent today. Here's our first excerpt from his presentation.
I want to give you a personal perspective on amateur radio. I probably won't be back to the Dayton Hamvention after this year, but I couldn't walk away without sharing with you what I've learned and without lifting the veil a little bit and let you see the other side as I've seen it over 5 years. These are purely personal observations of a former bureaucrat. I do not speak for the FCC. I'm no longer with the FCC. I know what you're thinking. Here comes the commercial. Right. Tell us who you're with. As a matter of fact, there's no commercial here. I won't take a ham versus ham case. Lawsuits are completely out of place in amateur radio. I would hope that those who may be involved in them, either on the sewer or the suey side, would step back a little bit and rethink if there isn't a better way to accomplish what you're after in amateur radio. Besides, you can't afford me anyway. The legal fees are horrendous, and I pity anyone who's involved in having to pay them and come up with them. However, it is my personal view that lawsuits are the logical and natural result of the posture that the FCC has placed ham radio in today. I'm going to give you some free legal advice. It's the last time you'll get any free legal advice from me, and I know it violates all of the codes of brotherly money-making, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. If I were you, in the current environment in amateur radio, especially in repeater coordination, I would walk away now and stay away until the FCC changes the ground rules. Sooner or later, a repeater coordinator is going to have to tell somebody no. And when you do, you're going to get sued. And I think it's pretty simple. That's what it comes down to. You've been protected by the availability of frequencies and the ability to be able to work somebody in and find a way, et cetera, shoehorn them in, do whatever it takes, but you're running out of them, and sooner or later you're going to have to say no. And that's the point when someone's going to say, who are you to tell me no? And you're going to have no recourse to anything that says that you have that right. And you'll be sued. It's a paradox. It's an irony. Ham radio's greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. The volunteerism, the fact that people come forward and do onerous and thankless jobs, such things as repeater coordination and band planning and gentlemen's agreements. Oh, it's time to go. That's it. That's the hook.
All of those wonderful non-remunerative things that ham radio operators do by and for their fellow ham is also the single greatest weakness in ham radio, because all of that has no recourse and no basis in law or regulation. And therefore, no one can point to any legitimacy in the regulations that somehow makes it all official, if you will. And the problem is, you're starting to see some of the people who would exploit that. For years, ham radio has had its own little share of kooks who come and go. They're active for a while, and everybody gets upset with them for a while, and then eventually they go away. You're getting more than your share of kooks these days. People who are trying to ride the coattails of legitimacy and the very flexibility that enables hams to volunteer their time are also the same things that other people with their own narrow and self-interested purposes will use for their own advantage. And part of that is true in repeater coordination. It applies in several different areas of amateur radio, but I'll confine my remarks strictly to repeater coordination. Well, why is this happening? I think that it's happening for a couple of reasons. You've got the combination of deregulation on the part of the administration and the nature of amateur radio. Deregulation got started 5 or 6 years ago when that was all the vogue. Let the marketplace regulate what goes on in radio to the greatest extent that it can, and let the FCC get out of the business of regulating. And that philosophy was applied across the board in all radio services, including amateur radio.
You're listening to a 1988 talk about the deregulation of amateur radio given by Ray Kowalski, chief of the Special Services Division in the FCC's Private Radio Bureau for most of the 80s. We'll conclude our first excerpt from his candid talk to the 1988 Dayton Hamvention Frequency Coordinator Forum in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, available 24/7 on therainreport.com, from Twitter at the RAIN Report, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
I hope somebody here will go back and reread the interview I gave a CQ magazine back when I was first appointed to the commission, where I said that it doesn't work in amateur radio. There is no marketplace, no competitive engine that drives amateur radio. What must serve in place of a marketplace for amateur radio is regulation. That's all there is. And the commission has backed off from regulation in amateur radio as it did in all the other services, and it flat doesn't work. It leaves you hanging out there. It's easy to say that more regulation is terrible. But, you know, that is the knee-jerk reflex, isn't it? Get off our backs, government, give us more flexibility, etc., etc. Sounds great when you say it fast. But you have to realize that for amateur radio, your only salvation lies in more regulation, not less. That is heresy. I couldn't have said that before the 1st of January. You've got an absurd licensing situation when it comes to repeaters. The model of amateur radio regulation is based on QSOs, point-to-point communications. A calls B, has a conversation, and goes away. And arguably, a repeater only fosters that. A is only typically in a repeater conversation, typically talking to B. However, in point of fact, a repeater is more than a device to retransmit one operator's signals to another. A repeater is like that, but it comes closer to something on the order of a land mobile or a broadcast station because of the tremendous range that repeaters have. I think that's one of the reasons why repeater coordination is presenting so much trouble, because it doesn't fit the regulations that generally govern amateur radio. And I'm going to come back to this point in a minute, but I wanted to make it so that you would begin to have the background picture. You know, I sat in a repeater coordinators meeting this morning, and I realized that all of you have things to do of immediate urgency and immediate things to accomplish in your local clubs. But you've got to step back and realize that it all takes place in a larger context. And one of the contexts that's a problem is that repeaters don't really fit the mold. And I think you have to begin to realize that, but there's something different about this kind of operation that requires a different regulatory approach than you've been getting. And while you've got to proceed with what you're doing on the local level to work toward coordinating and setting up legitimacy and recognition of coordinators, you've also got to keep this broader perspective in mind as to how it all fits in. I think that perhaps a better model that you might want to begin to think about is the broadcast or the land mobile model. In the land mobile, there are classes of stations. You all know I'm talking about land mobile business radio. There are classes of stations where you are allowed to more or less purchase a service if you would have been eligible to establish that service yourself. That's precisely what you've got here in repeater coordination in the amateur service. That's precisely one of the reasons you have a problem, is that everyone is eligible to establish a repeater. Now, the way they handle it in services like the business service, where they have millions of users, is to say, well, we won't make every one of them go out and establish a station. We'll find ways that they can share and use the frequencies so long as they would have been eligible to put up a station themselves. You might want to investigate those kinds of models for repeater coordination as a way out. I'm trying to offer you some perhaps constructive modes of thinking to get out of the morass that you're in, and I realize you have to undo a lot. The alternative, though, is a decision that would disenfranchise every radio operator. I've seen some of the comments, and I understand them, when the people say the only ones who really should have a voice in all of this are the repeater owners. I'm telling you, you can't do that without disenfranchising every tech and above. Everyone who would have a right to establish a repeater. And therein lies the problem, because everyone who has a right to can't. You've got a real dilemma here, and it's going to call for some fresh thinking if you're going to find a way out of it.
And that's our first of two excerpts from a 1988 Dayton Hamvention talk given by Ray Kowalski, chief of the Special Services Division in the FCC's Private Radio Bureau, most of the 80s, until he returned to the private sector in 1988. Next time we'll learn about the Kowalski Letter, a document that rocked the amateur radio frequency coordination world. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now, for all the litigants in our listening audience, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Now tablet and mobile friendly on therainreport.com, available on Twitter at therainreport, and buried somewhere in iTunes. Keep on hamming!